We're reading from Matthew 27, from verse 32 to 54. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him. One on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for reading that for us, Linda. And can I add my welcome to Craig's? It's lovely to have you here. I'm Andy, if you don't know me, I'm the minister. And it's great to be able to have you with us for this Jubilee celebration. And what a great couple of days it's been, celebrating our Queen and her long reign. And what I'd like us to do now for a few minutes is to think about our Queen and the King she worships. The Queen once met the comedian Tommy Cooper. Do you know Tommy Cooper? Here's a picture of him. And Tommy Cooper asked the Queen a question at the Royal Variety Performance. This is back in the 60s. And Tommy Cooper said, "Would you mind if I asked you a personal question?" And the Queen gave a great reply. She said, "No, but I might not be able to give you a full answer." Isn't that a great reply? It's a very wise reply to a comedian. And then Tommy Cooper then asked, "Do you like football?" And the Queen said, "Well, not really." "Well, in that case," Tommy Cooper said, "do you mind if I have your cup final tickets?" Well, I don't think he got them. But it reminds us that the Queen is willing to share some private things, but she wisely doesn't share everything. But one thing that the Queen has shared openly is her faith in Jesus Christ. It's quite striking when you think about it. There's lots that we don't know about the Queen. But you could say she's been unusually open about her Christian faith. In her Christmas message in 2015, she said this: "Billions of people follow Christ's teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I'm one of them." Then this is read the Bible passage to us that takes us to the very heart of what the Christian faith is all about. And I want us to think now about just one sentence from elsewhere in the Bible that explains what it means. This sentence was written by Peter. Peter was there at the cross the day that Jesus died. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. And Peter would later write this up on the screen: "Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." What I'd like us to now think about our Queen, and to think about the King that she worships. And I'd like to draw out three truths from that one sentence from the Bible. And here's our first truth. We see our need for the King. And our Bible verse says, "Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." That verse is saying that we have sins. We're sinful. It's saying that we need to be brought to God, that naturally we're far away from him. We live in a country where the Queen and the government are in charge, don't we? But do you know that there is actually a higher power? The person who's really in charge in our country and in the whole universe is God. God made us. God made this world. He made us to be friends with him. And he gives us good things every day. He gives us bank holidays. He gives us a peaceful country to belong to and to live in. He gives us family and friends and food. He gives us marmalade sandwiches. I wonder if you saw that video of the Queen meeting Paddington Bear. God is good to us. But the sad truth is that despite all of his goodness, we say no to him. We turn our backs on him. We think we'll do better without him. Here's a picture of the Queen's crown. It's a centrepiece of the crown jewels. People think it's worth about £31 million. Now, if God has had a physical crown, imagine how great his crown would be. But sin is where we ignore God's crown. And it's like we each put a dented tin crown on our own head, and we pretend to be the king. But do you know that when we do that, it spoils everything. It spoils our relationship with each other, and it spoils our relationship with God. Just think about it for a moment. If I'm the little king of my life, and you're the little king of your life, what's that going to lead to? Arguing and fighting. Sin spoils relationships. And the Queen knows this very well. She's spoken of 1992 as her horrible year. And you've heard her speak about this. Not only was there a fire in Windsor Castle where 100 rooms were burnt, but Prince Andrew separated from his wife, Princess Anne divorced her husband, and Charles and Diana's affairs with other people were all over the newspapers. It was a horrible year for the Queen. The truth is that when we go our way, not God's way, it spoils everything. I've known the pain that sin brings. We all have. We're all guilty of lies and envy and greed and cruel words and lust. Sin spoils things with each other. But even more importantly, sin spoils things with God. Sin breaks our relationship with him. And Jesus warns us. He says it's serious. When we die, we won't be welcome in God's kingdom. will be shut out. If we were to turn up at Buckingham Palace, covered from head to toe in stinking mud, we wouldn't get let in. And if we turn up at the gates of heaven, covered in sin, we certainly won't be let in. I wonder if you've really understood how serious sin is. You'll never make sense of the Christian faith until you understand that little word, sin. Until we see our sin, we'll never see our need for the King. And so I wonder if you can see your sin. Back in 2011, at Christmas time, the Queen said this. She said, in the last verse of the beautiful carol in the little town of Bethlehem, there's a prayer. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. And the Queen carried on. She said, it's my prayer that on this Christmas day we might all find room in our lives for the message of the angels and for the love of God through Christ our Lord. That's the Queen speaking about our need for the King. Well, here's our second truth from our Bible verse. The death of the King. Peter writes this. He says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. We've seen our need of the King, we're sinful, and it's in his death that the King meets our need. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Christ died once for all time. And as he died, it was a swap. The righteous for the unrighteous. Imagine a film of your life, of my life. Here it is. It's a DVD case and it says me on the front. That's a film of my life. And it shows all of the good bits, all of the bits that I'd be proud of, all of the bits that I'd like you to see. And it contains all the bad bits as well. The things I'd be embarrassed for you to see. In fact, it even has subtitles showing you what I'm thinking. Imagine that. And this is an absolutely honest film of my life. And so it shows my sin. It shows me ignoring God. It shows my lies, my lust, my selfishness. But by contrast, here is Jesus' life. And Jesus lived an absolutely perfect life, a flawless life. A life of perfect kindness and honesty, a life of perfect love for others, a life of pure worship to God. And the good news of the Christian faith is this. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a swap. So here's the film of my life. Here's the film of my sinful life with all of the wrong things that I've done, all of my rejection of God. And when Jesus died, he took my sin on himself. And Jesus then took the punishment that my sin deserved when he died on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken, abandoned? Why are you punishing me? Jesus was punished for my sin, and he dealt with it. He dealt with it fully. He paid for it. My sin is gone. And later, God raised him to life, showing that the rescue had worked. And wonderfully, Jesus' perfect life gets given to me. And so now, when God looks at me, he sees me as forgiven. He sees me as completely acceptable to him. And I can have life forever with him. It's an amazing swap. Jesus' death is a perfect rescue. It's a bit like this. Back in 2011, there was a terrible storm in America. There was a huge tornado, and it killed 125 people in one day in Missouri. But at least one man died a hero. Don Lansall, 31 years old. his wife, Bethany. They climbed into the bathtub, and Don made sure that he was on top in order to protect his wife, Bethany. And here's a picture of their home after the storm. Isn't that terrible? The winds in the tornado got up to 200 miles an hour, and Don was lying there in the bathtub on top of his wife to protect her. And he was killed, and he gave his life to save Bethany. And later, through the tears, she said, "He got on top of me to take the brunt of most of this, and he's my hero." Well, the sacrifice that Don Lansdell made shows us something of the sacrifice that Jesus made to save everyone who turns to him. The Queen once put it like this: God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. As Peter puts it, Christ died for sinners once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. So there I am, I'm standing outside of the palace, and I'm covered from head to toe in stinking mud. But if I trust in Christ, he takes my filthy clothes and he gives me clean clothes. The death of the King is all we need. We don't save ourselves from sin. We need his death to save us. We can't save ourselves through trying hard or being really religious or helping others. Millions of people try that, but it just leaves us feeling anxious, wondering if we've done enough, or it leaves us feeling proud. We look down on other people, thinking that we're better than them. But Peter's message is different. Peter says, all you need to know is this: Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Well, we've seen our need of the King, we've seen the death of the King, and here's what it leads to as we finish. It leads to the offer of the King. And here's our Bible verse again. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ offers to bring you to God. Do you remember in our Bible reading earlier, when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now the temple curtain was a great big barrier. It stopped people coming in to the heart of the temple where God was. It was a huge no entry sign. It said loud and clear, sinful people cannot have a friendship with God. Not now, not ever. But the King came to change all of that. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And so when Jesus died, the enormous curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus opened the way to God. So the big no entry sign has now been changed to a big welcome sign. It's wonderful news. And Jesus now calls us to return to God. And it would mean a big change. It would mean that I have to take off the battered tin crown on my head and lay it at Jesus' feet. I'm to live with him as King, not me anymore. And that'll be costly in different ways for each of us. It could mean that I go about my relationships in the way that he says it's good, rather than the way I say it's good. It'll mean I use my time and my money in the way that he says it's good, rather than the way that I say it's good. It'll be costly turning to him, but it's also wonderful. If I trust in Jesus, he has brought me to God. He loves me. He died for me. He's given me forgiveness. He offers me a fresh start with God. He offers eternal life in his kingdom. Yes, there's a cost to living his way, but the cost is nothing compared. and to the eternal life that he'll give me. This is the wonderful offer of the king. The queen was once staying in Scotland at Balmoral Castle, which is her home in Scotland. And some Americans, some tourists, were visiting Balmoral Castle, and they approached the queen. And she was dressed in her normal clothes. She was off duty, so to speak. And they didn't recognize her. And they went up to her and they asked the queen if she'd ever met the queen. This is a true story. And the queen said no. And the queen then pointed to her protection officer, who was standing very close nearby, and she said, "But he has." Isn't that a great story? Well, just as those tourists missed who the queen really was, we should make sure that we don't miss who Jesus really is. He's not just a person from history. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good teacher to look up to. He's the rescuer king who can bring us to God. If I trust in him, he takes my filthy clothes, he gives me clean clothes, and he invites me into the palace. I belong in the kingdom of heaven. It's wonderful news. And if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, then give thanks to God again today. Give thanks for the Queen's 70-year reign. Give thanks for the Queen's faith in the King. Give thanks for the King and for his death, which brings us to God. The curtain was torn in two. Praise God for that. If you're new at St. Mary's, if this is your first time in church, or your first time for a while, then you're very welcome. I'm really pleased that you're here. Do come back anytime. You're welcome any Sunday. Come and find out more. Maybe you'd like to just take away a little booklet at the end. I'll be at the back saying goodbye to everyone. Just ask me and I'll give you a little booklet that you can read. But it might be that there are one or two people here today and you've been thinking about these things for a while now. You've been piecing it together over the past few months. Can I encourage you to take the next step? Jesus makes us an offer, but we do have to respond to that offer. Why not make today the time where you seriously think about responding to Jesus' offer? Why not speak to someone today who you know is a Christian? You can come and speak to me later, I'd love that. Well, there's a thing that you can come to at my house next Sunday in the afternoon. Craig will tell us a bit more about that later. Peter writes, "Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Queen's long reign, and we thank you that she is somebody who has turned to Jesus and trusted in him. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son into the world to be our rescuer king. Thank you that his death has done all that we need. We need to be forgiven and to be able to begin a new relationship with you. And we praise you for him.